So the question was asked, what are the seraphim? The question is really an understanding of angels in general. And let's just work our way from the sources. We're going to start at the beginning and then start at the end and then work our way to the middle. And the reason I say that is because we're going to begin with the Tanakh, just to recognize that the concept of angels appears in Tanakh. And then we'll jump to a very late source. We'll jump to the Rambam. And then we'll go in between and deal with all the sources. Not all, but some of the sources in between. So, let's begin. God creates the world. And God says, Na'ase Adam, let us make man. God's speaking to his heavenly court. God sees that man isn't living up to what he should. And God sees B'nei HaElokim. The sons of God, which we discussed, are malachim that God sent down here, and they took a corporeal form. They became like humans, and they started sinning. And God wants to destroy the world. And God brings a flood. And then we have the Tower of Babel, and God says, Nirdana v'nireh. Let us, me and my court, go down and convene upon mankind what they've done. God sends three angels to Avraham. The angels come to Sodom. The Torah tells us the angels overturn Sodom. Yaakov leaves his father's house and he dreams and he sees angels going up and down. He's by the sheep and he dreams and he sees angels taking the sheep from one flock to another flock. He's on his way back and a camp of angels greet him. He's on his way back and he has a fight with an angel. It seems wherever we turn in the Torah, we have angels.
It was the angel of Esau.
Okay, nonetheless, it's an angel. Let's move a little bit forward. The Jews are in the desert, and God tells them, Hine anochi sholach malach lefanecha. I will send an angel to be before you, to guide you as you travel through the desert. Angels. Bilam, at the end of the 40 years, he wants to come curse the Jewish people. He has to contend with an angel. So we should just recognize that angels show up throughout the Torah. Now let's enter prophets. Joshua enters the Holy Land, Yoshua. He wants to conquer the Holy Land, and an angel comes to greet him outside Jericho. He sees a man standing before him with the sword outstretched, and he asks him, are you on our side or the other side? And the angel says, no, I'm an angel from God. I was sent to help you conquer the land of Israel. Angels. Let's move forward a little bit more. We can leap to the time of the first temple, and we reach the prophet Yeshaya. Yeshaya, Isaiah. And Yeshaya begins his prophecy. We have a tradition that his prophecy began with chapter 6. Let's take out a Navi. One second. So the Navi says in Yeshaya 6, says the following. Bishnat mot ha-melech Uziyah. It was the year of the death of the king Uziyah. Va'ireh et Hashem yoshev ha-kisei ha-menisa. I saw God sitting on a heavenly exalted throne. V'shulav melim te'echal, and the bottoms of which filled the court. Serafim omdim imalo. Now the Navi tells us there were seraphim, which are literally means burnings, right? Lisrof means to burn. Seraphim are the plural of burnings. So to burn is lisrof, and seraphim are the ones that burn. The ones that burn are standing up there in order to serve him. Shesh kenafayim lechad. Each one has six wings. How many are there? Doesn't say. It says there were seraphim, and they were standing up there to serve, so to speak, God. Each one has six wings. B'shtayim yichasef anav, with two he covers his face. B'shtayim yichasef aglav, with two he covers his feet. B'shtayim yofif, and with two he flies. Angels need wings to fly. Angels have feet. Angels have a face. If they keep their face covered, what do they have a face for? Do they need eyes? So now we start entering a new stage where
seraphim from what Bionin.
Seraphim is a type of angel. It's an angel that's called a seraph. Plural, seraphim. So the word seraph shows up in the Torah. And describing the desert that we traversed, it says Nachash, Saraf, Ve'akrav, Ve'timahon, Asher en Maim. And Saraf over there is a reference to a type of snake that burns when it bites. But here it's not a reference to a snake. Over here, we're referring to an angel, and we're entering a new stage. In the Torah, we have a reference to a malach, and we have a reference to a satan. But in the Navi, we start encountering new names of angels. We encounter Seraph, Ofan. We have all kinds of names for angels. And this angel is described as having six wings, and they're pairs. Two are for this, two are for that, and two are for the third thing. V'kara zel zeh, and the Seraphim call out one to the other. Why do they have to call out? V'amar, and he says, Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzvakot, Meloch Ol Haaretz Kvado. God is holy, the land is suffused with his honor. Vayanu amot asipim mikol akore, from the voice of the one calling out, the pillars shook, v'abaitin male ashan, the house filled with smoke. Va'omar, in Isaiah, Yeshaya says, he makes an error now, he says, oili chinit meiti, woe to me for what has happened to me, ki I have been silenced, I cannot talk. They are exalting God, and I cannot say a word. Ki ish tamei sefataim anochi, for I am a man who has impure, defiled lips, uvetocham tamei sefataim anochi yoshev, and I dwell amongst the nation who also has defiled lips. He has not only put himself down, but he has put down the nation of Israel. And for that he will be punished in a minute, and for that he will ultimately die. When Yeshaya is killed, the way he is killed is ultimately he is within a tree, and they cut through the tree, and they hit him on his lips, and that's how he dies. That's a long story we'll get to a different time. Ki et ha-melech Hashem tzakot u'enai, for I have seen God, the king of all armies. Vaya'of elai echad min ha-srafim. One of these srafim flew over to me, uviyado ritzpa, and in his hand he had a coal, v'melkachayim. He had it, he was holding it with pliers. He couldn't hold it straight. The angel couldn't hold the coal. It was hot. Lakach ma'al ha-mizbeach. He took it on from above the altar, vayaga al-pi, and he placed it on my mouth. If an angel can't handle the heat of the coal, so he has to hold it within tweezers, these pliers, but Yeshaya gets it on his mouth. Okay, I don't think it was too comfortable. Vayomer, and the angel told him, Hinei nagaze al sefatecha. I've touched your lips with this, your lips that spoke badly about the Jewish people. Vesar avonecha, and your sin has been removed. Vechatatcha tekufar, and that your iniquity, that which you've sinned, will ultimately be forgiven. Vashmat kol Hashem omer, I heard God's voice saying, et mi ishlachu mi elech lanu, who will I send, who will go on our behalf? V'amar, and I said, hineni shlacheni, here I am, please send me. And here Isaiah begins his path as a prophet for the Jewish people. So he begins it with a vision of seraphim. And the seraphim fly over to him, and they burn him. Seraphim, burning, burn Yeshaya.
So they're burning ones.
We didn't say what they are yet. But if we're going to first discuss what seraphim are, so we have to first recognize that the concept of malach shows up in the Torah. And it's only when we reach later prophets that we start seeing specific names for the malachim. Overtly. Covertly, we have names of malachim in the Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Ki yareiti mipenei ha'af v'achema. I was fearful during those 40 days after the Jews sinned with the egel. I was fearful because of God's anger, which is described as with two terms, Af and Chema. And we have a tradition that Af and Chema are angels. They're angels that represent God's anger. And so Moshe Rabbeinu, when he's saying, I was fearful, he doesn't mean literally God got upset and I was scared of God. No, he means God allowed these angels to have more power, and these are angels that represent God's anger. I was scared. So the Torah also has references to all kinds of angels, but over there it's covertly. The overtly we find Malach, we find Satan, as far as I remember. We have Ketev Meriri, says in Hazinu. So our sages said that's an angel that does damage in the late afternoon hours. You have places that we understand to be a reference to angels. But overtly, we have Malach and Satan. And in Yeshayo, we first encounter Saraf. Let's jump over to Yechezkel. What? Lisrof means to burn. Seraphim, that will wait for the Rambam to try and understand better what we're reading. And the other sources we're going to quote tonight. The Navi Yechezkel saw a similar vision to Yeshayah's, but the Navi Yechezkel described it with more detail. And we're going to see in a second. Navi tells us the following. Yechezkel was out in Babylon. The heavens opened up and he saw a heavenly vision. He's out in exile with the king Yehoiachin. That was the first exile of Judah. And God takes him by wind and shows him within the fire, a light, and within the light, a fire, and there's Chashmal. And Chashmal is the name of an angel. Today, we use it for electricity. But in Tanakh, the word Chashmal is a type of angel. So Yechezkel first sees a Chashmal. And within this whole vision, he sees four Chayot. Chaya could mean a wild animal. Chaya is also a type of an angel. So he sees four chayot, and they look like a man, but they have four faces. And each chaya has four faces and four wings. And they have a straight foot, like a calf, and they shine like pure copper. And under their wings, they have human hands, and they pair together. They don't have to turn when they turn directions because they have faces in all four directions. And their four faces are the face of a man, the face of a lion, and the face of an ox, and the face of an eagle. Those are the four faces they have. So this is the angel Chaya. And their faces and their wings are separate on the top. And again, they use two wings to cover themselves, and wherever the wind goes, that's where they go. They never have to turn. What wind is Yechezkel talking about? Angels need faces to see. Angels need eyes to perceive. What man's face do they have? We have a tradition, it's Yaakov Avinu's face. That's the face of a man. Now, they get carried with the wind and they look like a burning fire. The fire passes between the chayot and it has a light, and from the fire comes out thunder, lightning. And when the chayot, these heavenly creatures that have four faces and are called chayot but have a human body, they run back and forth. It looks like You have light shooting back and forth. And I saw the chayot and an ofan. What's an ofan? Another angel. Ofan literally is a wheel. It's a... Oh, yeah, one second, one thing at a time. We got to first get acquainted with what we're reading. And then we'll see if we can understand something beyond that. And I see an ofan down on the ground, and he is by the chaya with its four faces. And the ofan is made like marble, and they all look the same. And they look like an ofan within an ofan. Think about a wheel within a wheel. What does that mean? So... maybe we'll understand it. Let's see. They also do not have to turn when they go to different areas, because if you think of a wheel that goes this way and that way, think of two perpendicular wheels, so then they could roll this way or they could roll that way or not at all. Depends on how you make it. So the ofanim are described as wheels. So we discussed, what did we discuss so far? He's seen light, he's seen fire, he's seen chashmal. From all this he saw chayot, we described the chayot, we went from describing the chayot to describing the ofanim. I didn't think we should have a class on this, but you asked. So tonight you could ask whatever you want.
Yes,
okay.
I think I asked a very different question.
Ofanim. Okay. Now, the ofanim on their backs, they're covered with eyes, and we have four ofanim. And wherever the chayot go, these angels, the ofanim tag along. So we have chayot on top, ofanim on earth. The chayot can go in any direction, and they're guided by the wind. We haven't yet discussed what this wind is, a ruach. And the wind that moves around the chayot, think of a helium balloon and a string going down. So that's going to drag along the ofanim together with them. So far, clear? Yeah, okay. Okay.
A bunch of angels moving this way and that way.
I'd like to look inside everyone's head and just see what picture they have from this picture.
Now, because they are attached, whenever the chayot go up, the ofanim go up with them.
What does move the ofanim?
The ofanim get carried with the chayot, and the chayot get carried by the wind.
Okay.
Wherever the wind guides, it moves the chayot. So it's easy to picture it like a helium balloon. And a helium balloon moves, and the string attached to the helium balloon goes along with it. So wherever the chayot are going to go, the ofanim are going to go.
Okay.
Because the ofanim have the spirit of the chayot within them. There's an attachment. Okay. Wherever they go. Wherever they stand. And when they rise up above the ground, so the ofanim rise up towards them, because the spirit of the chayot is within the ofanim. Now, on top of the chayot, there's a vision like the sky, as though you have... the top, we said the chaya has a four-sided head. Well, the top of him has something like the sky, like great ice. And under that, they have their wings straightened out. And you could hear their wings as though it's great waters thundering. Like and above the heavenly vision that's above their head, above that, you see some kind of sapphire stone. You see a vision of a chair, a throne. And on the throne, you see something that looks like a man. And when... So here we have a description that goes a little bit beyond that, what you see, what he sees when he sees Hashem. And we haven't yet gotten to the Sefim. So... Yechezkel describes a vision and he goes into great detail. And Yeshayahu describes a vision and he says very little detail. Our sages say the difference between Yeshayahu and Yechezkel is like when a person visits the king's palace. If it's one of the aristocracy who's there often, so he comes home and his wife asks him, "What'd you see?" So he says, "Well, the king told me there's going to be a new decree coming out. He's going to let down taxes. When I was by the king, I noticed he got a new Persian rug." A guy, a farmer, gets into the king. He comes home. His wife asks him, "Well, what happened by the king?" He says, "You won't believe it. The bathrooms are of silver. I walked, the handle, the door handle was made of sapphire. And when I walked in, the floor was covered with rugs. When I walked in, they gave me new slippers to wear. And that was just an entrance. And then they had cakes lined up. And then I walked in further and they had great music playing. And he describes everything. And the tapestries, and he's describing everything. And the lights, the servants, how the servants are dressed. And finally, he gets close and close and he describes everything until he gets finally to the king. Chazal say that's the difference in level between Yeshaya and Yechezkel. For Yeshaya, so he just says what Hashem said and what happened there. Yechezkel, he's describing everything he saw. That's the difference in level in prophecy. So now, we've taken something which is called Ma'aseh Merkava, the vision of the chariots, the heavenly throne, and it's considered the deepest secrets and something you learn after you've learned for many, many, many years and you've achieved a very high level. So this is part of Kabbalah which a person might attain a level where his rabbi can teach him. And we've taken it and we've simplified it and described it like it's a storybook for kids, a fairy tale. So we're doing an injustice here. But the question is, then why did I bother saying anything? Firstly, because everyone should learn Tanakh. And when we learn Tanakh, we encounter these chapters. So if God saw fit to put it in the Tanakh that a five-year-old is going to learn, Ben Chamesh Lemikra, then we should at least have the understanding of a five-year-old. A five-year-old is supposed to start learning Tanakh, and he'll encounter these chapters, and he'll read them the way we just read them, so he'll know there's much more depth, but at least I've scratched the surface. I haven't scratched the surface, but I've seen the surface. So first thing we should know is that we just touched the surface. This is the greatest secrets of Kabbalah are here. And this is something which a person can only learn by tradition from his rabbi to understand. Well, what are we discussing? We're discussing angels. Angels have a top. Angels have a bottom. Angels take corporeal form. They're not physical. Angels have a front. Angels have a back. Angels have eyes. They have four different shapes. No. None of this is to be understood literally. But, just like a five-year-old would read it, we have to read it. And just like a five-year-old will have some sort of picture in his mind, so we have some sort of picture in our mind. We don't have to be less than the five-year-old that Chazal instructed us is supposed to learn Tanakh. We're supposed to be like the five-year-old that we also know that there's depth here. That this isn't to be understood literally. And now, maybe we'll get to the depth and try to understand a little bit if you guys want to. Yeah?
So, Isaiah was up on a more higher level than Ezekiel. Okay?
Yeah. Isaiah was on a higher level than Yechezkel.
Why?
I don't know why. You want something?
Yeah. Angels are spirits.
We haven't yet discussed what angels are.
Okay, but they are described like men like creatures, but they are not. Is that what you say? Because this is only done before the 5-year-old kids to understand something about angels. Have some understanding and some starting points to have some comprehension of what angels are.
So what we tell children when we start is two things. We say God has angels and he sends them to do things, and the angels are really God's messengers. They're an extension of God. God says things are done through angels, and angels could take on any form. Now there are specific angels that their job is to be in heaven and praise God or do whatever their job is up there in heaven. And those angels, when they're up there doing their job, Yechezkel is describing them like this.
Okay, so sometimes they are physical.
Whether angels can ever take on physical form or not is an argument between the Rambam and Ramban. The Ramban, like Rashi seems to say, holds that they can take on physical form. And then they could appear to a person like a human and talk to him. And the Rambam holds that would never happen. And in a minute, we're going to learn the Rambam if you guys choose.
What's the problem with the angels in Bereshit? Because the angels they came to Earth and they mix with.
So wait. Let's evolve. Let's just move forward slowly, and maybe we'll get to that. But first, we have to address the first question. Okay. But being that I see this is taking a lot of time, I just want to take a vote to make sure everyone here wants us to continue. Or how many people here want to continue about angels?
Continue with this.
Okay. Sorry, guys.
No.
Say that. So we're continuing. Okay.
If you don't hate angels, so that's what another alternative.
We'll see. Oh, wait, if people have questions, we have other things to learn. Let's continue. Yeah.
How many people did Strange Romance?
Let's talk about
six.
Six.
Or seven?
You
want to take another vote again? How many people would like us to continue about angels?
No.
Yeah, we're counting hands. We're not counting Jews. There are six. It's substantial enough that it's fair to continue. I don't vote. I don't mind. Just wear that way. Okay. This is Thursday night. He's entitled to ask questions. That's what interests him. He's entitled. Guys asked about demons. We dealt with it. Fine. So that's why you're not asking the question. But he did. So we're going
to
try. Okay. We try to respect what everyone wants. So, okay.
I just don't see the purpose.
Okay. Our sages tell us that when Yeshaya began his prophecy, so that was the day that Uzziah decided that he could act like a priest, and Uzziah walked in to serve and bring sacrifices. And he wanted to go into the Holy of Holies. He made himself like a god. And on that day, the heavens shook. That's what Yeshaya heard, the heavens shaking. That was as a result of the fact that Uzziah walked into the Holy of Holies. And our sages say that when a person walks into the Holy of Holies, in heaven they decree he has to get burnt. And that's why we find by Korach that the 250 men, they all wanted to be like Kohanim Gedolim. They all got burnt. And when the angels are going to come and deal with Uzziah, so the angels that Yeshaya encounters are seraphim, angels that are coming to burn. That's how Rashi explains the story in Yeshaya. In which case, what Rashi is telling us is that it's not that Yeshaya is describing the heavenly court as always containing seraphim. But rather, these angels are now going to take the job of burning. Their job is to, they're upset and they're saying, okay, this man went to the Holy of Holies, from heaven he has to be burned, just like Nadav and Avihu and 250 men. A person walks into the Holy of Holies, gets burned. So that's why these angels are called seraphim. That's what we see in Rashi.
They handle
that punishment of burning. It seems from Rashi that when angels are doing the task of burning, they get called seraphim. That's how Rashi seems to say. Not that there are specific angels whose job it is to burn who are called seraphim. When an angel takes the job of burning, he is called a seraph. That's how Rashi seems to be learning. When Chazal say that Yeshaya saw a clearer picture than Yechezkel, and what Yechezkel saw, Yeshaya didn't see. Whatever Yechezkel saw, Yeshaya did see. As we discussed before, they just described it differently. But what Yechezkel describes, Yeshaya doesn't describe. And what Yeshaya describes, Yechezkel doesn't describe. Yeshaya describes the praising of Hashem and he describes seraphim. Yechezkel describes all kinds of other angels and he doesn't describe the praising of Hashem.
So the question is on Yechezkel?
Yeah. So Yeshaya doesn't mention the Chayot as opposed to Yechezkel, right? So we have differences.
So the seraphim, the burn things.
That's how Rashi says.
What, even Goyim?
Now let's.
What are Goyim be burned for? That's the thing. Everything that's mentioned tonight.
Oh. One second. Slowly. Slowly. It says.
Are they responsible for newlywed women that can't quite cook yet? Are they responsible?
You know, I forgot to mention there's another reason why I thought it was worth learning this chapter with you. It says, the Gemara in Chagiga quotes that a Rebbe was once teaching the children the chapters in Yecheskel that describe what's going on in heaven, and we don't know exactly what it means. Even the rabbis in time, the Gemara had a hard time. They had one rabbi who sat down and composed the whole explanation of what's going on there. So this kid was sitting by his Rebbe and he's learning it, and he understood, and he wanted to start saying a pshat. So a saraf came down and electrocuted the kid, like, or whatever, however they killed. The kid dropped dead. He started saying something that was right in the understanding of how heavens work, and the angels weren't happy with it. So even though I don't understand what I'm reading, but that doesn't limit you guys. I mean, if a kid learning by his Rebbe could understand, so you guys, certainly, maybe you understand. So David, it's nice you're offering an explanation. We never know what the right explanation is. Okay. That's why it's important for me to tell you this. That's why it's important. Maybe that's why I'm not giving it away. Okay, so the Navi Yeshaya describes the angels as seraphim, omedim, angels that are standing. Angels have standing or sitting. So we have to know that angels are constantly described as standing beings. When Zechariah, the prophet in Treyasar, Zechariah describes the vision that he saw with in the holy, the Kohen Gadol, Yoshua, was standing, and the angel was standing on his right trying to speak badly about him. So the angel finally told him, "Minatati lecha malchim ben omdim eile." I will allow you to advance between those that are standing. And that's a reference to the fact that man is described as a mehalech, as one who traverses, one who travels. And angels are described as omdim, those who are stationary, standing. Angels are on a certain level, and they can never move from that level. They don't move up, they don't move down. We have questions on that. But in general, the rule is angels don't move. Angels have freedom of choice. They don't have a yetzer hara, but they have freedom of choice.
But Rav, is there also a concept of fallen angels? Does that exist in Judaism?
So we discussed that there were two angels that did come down. And we find the angels even by Lot, they made a mistake. Angels have free will. We see when the angels talk to Lot, they say, "We're going to destroy the city." And God says, "Really? That's how you talk?" And God banished the angels from heaven for a long while. They were stuck down here. Until the time that Yaakov Avinu was leaving Israel, and then he dreams and he sees angels coming up. What were they doing down here? Those are the angels that God banished down by Lot. The angels that spoke improperly by Lot, God told them, "You have to spend a while down there." And years later, they were allowed back into heaven. That's what Yaakov Avinu sees in his dream as he's leaving Israel. He sees those angels coming up. So
they can't fall down.
Fall down, I don't know in what sense you mean. In this sense, angels can lose a certain elevation. Mm-hmm. In general, we describe that angels are omdim. They're stationary. They are where they are. And that's why Yeshaya also describes seraphim omedim mima'alo. The seraphim are standing, as in they're stationary. They don't advance. That's the level they've attained. And now we're going to turn to the Rambam to get an understanding of this whole story. And before we read a little bit of the Rambam, I want to introduce it with a few points. The Rambam begins Hilchot Yesodei Torah, the foundations, the fundamentals of Torah. The Rambam begins the work with a description of the understanding of this, of Maaseh Merkava and Maaseh Bereshit. And the Rambam wrote his work for everyone. The whole purpose of his work was that the average person can learn it. It's written in Hebrew. It's divided in a very organized and easy way to read. So the Rambam said, "I see people don't have time and don't have teachers to learn by. So I'm going to write a work that after you learn Torah, you just use this work and you'll get all the information you need to know. You'll know all the halachos you need to know." That's why it's called Mishneh Torah. This is supposed to be the book that you have Tanakh. You have the Torah with this. This is like number two. You have number one is the Torah and then this. And you're covered. Obviously, the Rambam meant, if one can, and the rabbis, everyone's going to continue learning the Gemara and everything else. But for the average person, this is like a Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. This is going to be an easy way of covering all of Halacha. So think about it. Along comes Mr. Farmer. He says, this work just came out. I got to learn. I got to know what to do. He opens up the Rambam, Foundations of Torah. He starts learning. And he's reading about angels. And we're going to see that the Rambam isn't so understandable. And he reads one halacha, two halachas, three halachas. He finishes 30 halachas. And he says, I don't know what I'm talking about. What's he going to do? Close the book and walk away and say, I don't understand this Rambam. So for years it bothered me why the Rambam begins this way. Because the Rambam doesn't begin by telling you, I'm going to tell you secrets now. The Rambam begins by telling you a whole description of Maaseh Merkava. When he ends, he says, and now everything I just said are the deep, deep, deep secrets which no one understands unless they have a tradition or they're on a very, very high level, etc. So it always bothered me. Why didn't the Rambam begin with it? You want to begin with these halachas, fine, but begin with an introductory sentence. Tell the reader, I'm about to tell you something you won't understand. Why doesn't the Rambam do that? He lets you struggle through it. You read chapter after chapter, and only then, after you've struggled through chapters of not understanding, does the Rambam reveal, and you weren't supposed to understand anything I just told you. So, I think it's three, maybe it's five. Not exactly. We'll talk about it. So I thought of two possible answers. One answer is that the Rambam assumed that if you're learning, then you have to have perseverance. And a person doesn't just read a chapter and say, I don't understand, and close the book. If you want to understand something, you have to cover ground. Any person that opens up something, any work in Torah, and reads one chapter is going to have a hard time understanding. You want to understand. The Rambam's teaching you a lesson. You got to cover ground. Cover 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 chapters, then see if you understand. To stop after you've finished one chapter and say, I don't understand, that's not the way to learn. So that was the way I understood for many years. That's what I thought the Rambam meant. That the Rambam just assumed, if you're learning, then you know how to learn. And the way to learn is not to give up after you don't understand the first or second chapter, but to say, maybe after I get an overview, I'll have a better picture. And then I thought of two other possible understandings. Either the Rambam, and this is similar to the first understanding, assumed that we all know how to learn, and whenever you learn, you have to get an overview before you go in depth. Not the way people do today. You read a sentence and say, well, I don't understand. Let me see what this word. What about that? What about that? How does this work? How does that work? No. You want to understand something? Cover the whole thing, and then start reviewing it with depth. Now, you won't understand everything. That's right. But first cover it. Who starts and says, I don't understand the first thing I read? Right. In Torah, you got to cover ground, and then start going in depth. Or the third possible understanding is that the Rambam assumed that even his work, you're going to learn with a Rebbe. He didn't think you're going to learn alone. And the Rebbe is going to know that this is stuff that you don't understand. So those are the three possible understandings I had. But now we can offer a possible fourth understanding. That just like the Gemara in Chagiga, that the child got an understanding of these in-depth secrets, the Rambam, so to speak, said, let's give it a shot. I'll teach all of you, and maybe we'll see who gets it. Maybe that's another possible understanding. But having said all of that, let's read the Rambam. The Rambam says, "Kol ma shebara Kadosh Baruch Hu b'olamot nechlak l'shlosha chalakim." Everything God created in this world can be divided into three different types. And we're reading the Rambam, second chapter, third halacha. Mehen bruin shem chuburim megolam metzura. Certain things are created; they have form and they have physical substance. Vehem movim v'nifsadim tamid, and they sometimes come into being, and sometimes they get destroyed. Like human body, animals, plants, metals. These are things that have shape. They have physical substance. And they also get worn down. You could get more. You could get worn down. They come and go. And the stone is also an example of this. And the second type is bru'im, things that are created. Shem chuburim migolam metzura. They have physical substance, they have physical form, but they cannot be shaped, their shape never changes, but they are constant, they have physical content, they are composed of matter, they have shape, and their shape never changes. And what are they? They are agalgalim v'akochavim shebahen. And they are the wheels and the stars that are in them. It seems the Rambam understood that the way the constellations work is imagine this invisible, big, fat disc, right? that the solar system is like, think of a train track, right? The train goes round and round and round on the track. So you have this invisible track in heaven, and it has matter. It's made of something physical, the Rambam says. It has shape. It's never going to change, and the stars go around in it. The stars and that track, which the stars go on, says the Rambam, they are physical, they have shape, and they don't change.
Does the galaxy and it's a warm black hole.
Okay.
And
they're made of a different type of physical matter, says the Rambam, and their shape is different. And the third type of thing in this world, says the Rambam, are the things that have shape, but they don't have form. They're not made of matter. And that is the angels. Angels do not have anything physical about them. They do not take on, they are not made of any physical matter, but they do have shape.
So it is spirit in shape.
Okay. So what is it that the prophets describe, that they saw angels made of fire with wings, and all the descriptions that they're like an animal? Says the Rambam, that's all a vision of prophecy. And when we say angels have wings, what the prophet meant to say is, just like wings make a bird fly, so too these angels are lofty. They are not bound by something physical like a body. Like we say, God is a burning fire. It doesn't mean God is a fire. It means that that's an allegory. We compare God to a fire. And by the same token, we say God made his angels fiery. It doesn't mean literally they're composed of anything physical like fire. So then how do you discern between the different angels if they don't have a body? So he says each one is different. One is on a higher level than the other. And we're going to end with this Rambam here to try and understand the way the Rambam explains angels. And each one has a different strength. They all evolve from the strength of God and God's good. And depending on the level of strength they have, that defines where an angel is. So when we say one is above the other, it doesn't mean physically one is up on the second floor and the other is on the first floor, but rather, when we say one is higher than the other, it's like you speak about two smart people and you say he's smarter than him. He's on a higher level. Doesn't mean physically. It means intellectually. By the same token, the angels, each one is on a higher level than the other. The different names of the angels refer to the level they are on. The chayot are called chayot HaKodesh, says the Rambam, because they are on the top. The highest level angel, the angel that perceives God to the fullest extent that an angel could, that understands God on the highest level, that's the holy animals, Chayot HaKodesh. And then you have Ofanim, the wheels, Erelim, lions, Chashmalim, whatever they are, Seraphim, notice the Seraphim, are the fourth level of angels. After you have Chayot HaKodesh, and then you have four levels down to them, meaning they're the fifth level. Ofanim, Erelim, Chashmalim, Seraphim, so really they're the fifth level. Malachim is a reference also to a level of angels. It's a general term, it's a generic term, and also a specific term. That's the sixth level. Ve'elokim, that's the seventh level. Uvnei Elokim, that's the eighth level. Ukruvim, that's the ninth. And then Ishim, that's the tenth. Ten names for ten levels of
Ishim.
Ishim, yeah.
Like men.
So, we... They are all levels of angels. Now, there's a lot more. The Rambam continues.
It's like 10 or 12.
10 levels of how much they can perceive their Creator. We say that the Seraphim, the Ofanim, we say they don't know where God is. They can't perceive where God is. That's why they say, Baruch Kvod Hashem Mimekomo. God should be blessed wherever He is. Where is he? The Ofanim say we can't even perceive where he is. Now, what does that mean? Obviously that has more depth. So all this, we entered a little bit of Kabbalah. And as with everything in Kabbalah, I don't understand, maybe you do. But at least we've had an introduction to what angels are, and Seraphim. And we've read a little bit about Rashi's explanation of Seraphim, and the Rambam. And of course there's more, but for tonight, I think we're going to leave it here. It seems like they do. Okay, are you happy, Avram?
Yes.
Okay.
So, also they can punish
Avram, you're happy?